I know of therapists who work with people who fully expected to die there and went there to die.
Right, right.
Yeah. It took you 14 years after that experience to begin to write about it.
Yes. I would like to clarify that, no, I definitely didn't go there to die.
No, others. Yeah, that's others. My experience in dealing with folks.
But. Well, 14 years, I think I had the idea that experience wasn't the subject matter for poetry. I had this idea that that there were other topics, of course. And I'd very systematically written around the experience, influenced by the conceits of surrealism, especially influenced by Breton and some of the negritude poets, such as Aimé Césaire and Senghor. I was renovating a house in New Orleans, and I began working on a poem entitled Somewhere Near Fubai. And the second poem I worked on, the poem entitled Facing It. And by the time I'd written Facing It, I knew that I would write many other poems about my experiences and observations in Vietnam.
The poem Facing It is an amazing poem. I mean, it puts you right there. If you've ever been, if anyone's ever been to the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, D.C., you can see, and having seen you in person and seen you read, I can see you in front of that wall. We have the poem bookmarked, so perhaps you could read that for us. Talking with Youssef Komonyaka and reading from Neon Vernacular. Youssef is a chancellor of the American Academy of Poets and professor at Princeton University and one of the teachers here at Centrum's 2002 Port Townsend Writers Conference.
Facing it. My black face fades, hiding inside the black granite. I said I wouldn't, damn it. No tears. I'm stoned. I'm flesh. My clouded reflection eyes me. Like a bird of prey, the profile of night slanted against morning. I turn this way. I'm inside the Vietnam Veterans Memorial again, depending on the light to make a difference. I go down the 58,022 names, half expecting to find my own in letters like smoke. I touch the name Andrew Johnson. I see the booby trap's white flash. Name shimmer on a woman's blouse, but when she walks away, the name stays on the wall. Breaststrokes flash, a red bird's wings cutting across my stare, the sky, a plane in the sky. A white vet's image floats closer to me, then his eyes look through mine. I'm a window. He's lost his right arm inside the stone. In the black mirror, a woman's trying to erase names. No, she's brushing a boy's hair.
As if erasing the name could bring the person back, in a sense, is one impulse you get from it. You mentioned during your lecture, I think it was, that you feel surprise is an important part of poetry. And I'd like to get some clarification on that. Do you like to be surprised by what you write, or does the surprise come from the reader or listener when they read or hear a poem?
I like to be surprised by what I write. Because if I have everything all worked out beforehand, then there isn't any need for me to continue writing. This is what I feel. So I'm elated with surprises. And consequently, perhaps the reader can be as well engaged by those surprises.
Yeah. I'm trying to get a sense of your process. You're writing all the ideas down and getting them there in front of you, and then weeding from that. So it's not like a beat-inspired thing where it's a free write and you're just kind of following an impulse, or a Charles Olson projective verse thing where maybe you're letting the ear lead you on. It's different from that. So how does the surprise come in?
It's slightly different from that. The surprise comes, I think, as a kind of improvisation. I'm thinking that's what the jazz musician does as well. Playing around a melody, not really knowing the structural patterns as such, but willing to engage an extended possibility. So the surprise comes out of that, the willing to travel with the music of the talent. And sometimes the music of the talent takes us to a place we didn't know that we would travel to.
And having all those different ideas on the paper in front of you with which you create the poem, maybe those are like the pet riffs that a jazz musician might have, or that little sort of that Monk has at the end of his solos or tunes.
Yeah.
So you look at it that way. Negative Capability is the title of one of your poems. It's also a Keatsian concept that that I think taken from a letter to his brother that said, negative capability is when a man is capable of being in uncertainties, mysteries, doubts, without any irritable reaching after fact and reason.
Yes.
So the ability to sit with dualities and not try and figure it out very, you know, it's not a black or white situation. Is there much contemporary American poetry written with negative capability?
I would hope so.
I would too.
Yeah, right. Yes, I would hope so. So in that sense, I'm saying yes.
And in your poem, perhaps is that what you're inferring, or is just what there's a poem called Negative Capability in the book.
Well, there's another poem entitled Euphemy that approaches that topic as well, I think, and in a different way than such a pronounced idea as the poem Negative Capability. Maybe I'll read Euphemy.
I would be honored, please. That one I didn't mark, so I will vamp again. We're talking with Youssef Komunyakaa. He's a chancellor of the American Academy of Poets, professor at Princeton University. He's the author of 12 books of poetry, including Pleasure Dome, Talking Dirty to the Gods, and Neon Vernacular.
Euphemy. Hands make love, defy, breast, clavica, will to each other, to the keyboard, searching the whole forest of compromises till the soft engine kicks in. Running on honey, dissidence worked into harmony, even-handed as Art Tatum's plea to the keys, like a woman and man who have lived a long time together. They know how to keep the song alive, wordless epits into the cold night, keepers of the fire, the right hand lifts like the ghost of a sparrow, and the left uses every motionless muscle. Notes divide, banishing each other, love and hate tattooed on the fingers.
Yeah, the notion of a machine running on honey, I would think, is a duality, is a juxtaposition, if nothing else.
And also people.
Yeah.
In a certain sense.
Yeah. There's also a sensuality that runs through your poetry. I think a sensuality so deep it could probably scare some people.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't have a problem with it, but really? I think certainly coming from a black man, too, that, you talk about the myth of the black man and sexual power or something like
that.
Yeah. Well, that's a natural part. I was going to say, how does that get into your poetry? But it's a natural part of life, so it's an easy thing to get into it. But not everybody seems to be as comfortable with you. Even the cover of your book, Talking Dirty to the Gods, is rather erotic.
But it's such an ancient symbol from a vase.
So you can get away with it.
So I think that's what I'm saying to is that, you know, if we can't endure such ancient icons, are we to say that maybe ancient art was a little more liberated than contemporary art in that sense?
We're living with an administration who has an attorney general who's covered up a statue because of the statue has exposed breasts. John Ashcroft did that.
Is that right?
Yeah, you hadn't heard about that. Yeah.
Or maybe it was one of those things that I had completely forgotten, hoping that it wasn't true.
Well, I hate to tell you, but it happened.
Okay.
So maybe it is we're entering another era. I hope it only lasts a couple of years if that's the case. Yeah. You know, you mentioned when we were talking about writing poems about the Vietnam War, saying you didn't think that poems could come about war, and yet you talk about those ancient things. You know, you go back to Homer and what have you.
Right.
And you know, poets aren't necessarily against war the whole time either.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
And just reading some of the poets out of World War I, how they were able to engage war in such a forthright way has been rather instructive.
Yeah. And yet when I think of World War I poetry, I think of Sandburg's work on that. Yeah.
Sassoon, or even Wilfred Urns.
The Grass.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's going to about do it for our first segment, so I hope that you'll stick around. We're talking with Youssef Komunyakaa, Chancellor of the American Academy of Poets, professor at Princeton University. He's the author of 12 books of poetry, including Pleasure Dome, Talking Dirty to the Gods, and Neon Vernacular, for which he won the Pulitzer Prize for Poetry in 1994. Our thanks to Neville Pearsall at Synergy Sound for the studio time and the engineering. And our thanks to the folks at Centrum for making this interview possible.